Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Europe mobilizes against free trade agreements. Interview with Natasha Singodi, Friends of the Earth Europe. A petition supported by Friends of the Earth Europe and over 500 European organizations was handed to the European Commission in Brussels, Belgium on Wednesday against the free trade agreements negotiated by the European Union with the US and Canada. The agreement between the European Union and the US is called the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, and the one between the European Union and Canada is a comprehensive economic and trade agreement. This Saturday marks the beginning in several European countries of 8 days of actions and mobilizations against European Union trade and investment agreements that threaten the rights of citizens, food sovereignty, jobs and the environment. It is expected that thousands of people will join the protests through October the 17th, just before the start of a new round of TTIP negotiations in Miami, the US, on the 19th. In addition to the TTIP and the CETA, the mobilizations and protests will focus on rejection of the Trade and Services Agreement and the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement that had just been signed by numerous states. This is what Natasha Singodi, Friends of the Earth Europe's trade campaigner, said to Real World Radio.
Real World Radio is interviewing a friend of the house, a friend of our radio, Natasha Singodi, trade campaigner of Friends of the Earth Europe, and we are going to talk a bit about the EU-US Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the TTIP, which is going to have a new round of negotiations on October 19th in Miami in the U.S. First of all, Natasha, very, very welcome to Real World Radio. It's a great pleasure to be in touch with you again.
Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Okay, Natasha, according to the information that we have received from Friends of the Earth Europe, several organizations, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, as possible, will be mobilizing now with busy days in the next days because of these EU-US negotiations on this TTIP, and because you are mobilizing a lot about this issue from a lot of time ago, Natasha. So first of all, I would like to ask you, because we know that there are going to be actions all around Europe focusing on TTIP. Could you tell us about a bit about that? What is being organized? What do you expect to happen?
Sure. Maybe already for the context, so the date has been chosen during the week of 10th to 17th of October, because we're celebrating 1 year of collections of signatures for a petition against the EU-US and the EU-Canada free trade agreements. So yesterday we reached a number of 3.2 million signatures, which is quite unprecedented in Europe, on such a petition, which has been handed over to the European Commission. But of course, the movement against free trade in Europe, it's much larger. So people are protesting and mobilizing against the EU-US treaty, the TTIP, but also against the EU-Canada, the CETA agreement, the TISA, which is an agreement focusing on services, and we're also standing in solidarity against the Trans-Pacific Partnership in the US, which was very recently agreed upon. I think this mobilization is an illustration of that civil society movement against that type of Trojan horse treaties, as we call them, the benefit corporation at the expense of the public in general. So there will be during a full week around Europe actions that go from street mobilization, demonstrations. Our Trojan horse will be featuring in several cities, to also online mobilization with people sending messages about the reasons why they are mobilizing against free trade. And all of this will take place during 7 days all around Europe, and several capitals and all kinds of cities.
Yeah, Natasha, there will be then 7 days of international actions against harmful trade and investment deals in Europe, those treaties that you mentioned, treaties that you, as Friends of the Earth Europe and other organizations and social movements, have been denouncing, which are affecting democratic rights, food sovereignty, jobs, and even the environment. How did you, as organizations and social movements, how did you arrive to these 7 days of action? How did you get to organize that thing? That I guess it's a lot of work, Natasha. It's a lot to do together.
It is, but I guess that's also inspiring. I mean, it's interesting to see in Europe how this campaign against those free trade treaties has been growing for the last 2 years. I think as people become more aware of the dangers of those treaties, they also want to take to the streets about them. So the idea was to have a full week of mobilization because, of course, Europe is a very diverse continent, so having just 1 day of action doesn't necessarily work in all the contexts. And the idea was to get 7 days that allow for actually showing and displaying the very big diversity of this movement against free trade. That's a collection of civil society movements that go from trade unions to environmental NGOs, labor movements, education movements, some public service sectors also are associated to the movement. So very wide mobilization, for instance, in Brussels itself, that will also be a week where the EU Council, so heads of states, are gathering in Brussels, and there will be actions that will be led not only by typical NGOs, but also by farmers' movements protesting against some of the politics that are happening at the moment in the EU. I think the very important message is to say, well, no, because actually they are really the illustration of politics being done or driven by very big corporation at the expense of people, and that also has consequences for other areas than just, say, for instance, environment. But, for instance, we see it on austerity policies at the moment in Europe or migration policies. And we really want to say, as civil society movements, we stand in solidarity against that and against the ways those policies are being decided.
Okay, Natasha. At the same time, I'm focusing a bit further in the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, the TTIP. We know that a petition against this trade deal signed by more than 3 million people, that's what you said earlier, was handed over to the European Commission in Brussels on Wednesday. That's right, Natasha?
Was it that's correct. That's correct. So we were there with Friends of the Earth, because Friends of the Earth is part of like the coalition of more than 500 organizations who have been supporting this petition. Our member groups have actively participated in the collection of signatures. So we took part in that. I think it's very clear that now the challenge will be keeping the 3.2 million people engaged in the campaign. And keeping them inspired and continuing the battle together with us. On the other hand, I think it comes at a good moment, this end of this petition, because the negotiations between the EU and the US are faltering at the moment. They are not managing to agree on anything substantial, so that is the moment to actually say very loud and very clearly that we don't want those negotiations and we will keep campaigning against them.
Okay, Natasha. I wanted to know a bit further, Natasha, about this European Citizens Initiative, which did a great work, smashing the 1 million signatures required for an official European Citizens Initiative to be considered by the political, the makers, the decision makers. What is it, Natasha?
What is the European Citizens Initiative?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Originally the Citizens Initiative, it's a tool by the European Commission, which allows citizens to propose a topic for legislation. So if you gather, the quorum you need, you can actually propose a new legislation. In that case, the proposal was to actually, change the mandate and review the mandate for negotiation, and that was not allowed by the European Commission, so they decided not to consider it officially. And that's why the organizers decided to turn it into a self-organized European Citizens Initiative, saying, well, a truly grassroots initiative would allow 3 million people to say very clearly to influence the way trade policy is being done in Europe and to reject the EU-US trade agreement.
Okay, Natasha. You, as a trade campaigner of Friends of the Earth Europe, have been following these TTIP negotiations for a very long period, Natasha. We wanted you to underline and to repeat to Real World Radio, because we have done interviews in the past about that, which are the most important concerns that you, as Friends of the Earth Europe, have regarding this TTIP, Natasha.
Yeah, so there are many from the perspective of an environmental organization. Well, first of all, those negotiations, they have been driven by and inspired by the agenda of big businesses in Brussels and in Washington. They really come into the perspective of trying to reduce regulations on both sides of the Atlantic that are seen as barriers to trade by big businesses. And what we say is, well, those regulations are actually what is protecting people and environment from harmful corporate behavior. So already the agenda is a very aggressive free trade agenda and a deregulation agenda. So that's one thing. And what we see in the different proposals that have been made public through leaks or because we got access to business demands is that there is really a willingness to weaken existing regulations and also to weaken the ability for decision makers to regulate in the future because of what is going to be in the provisions of the trade agreements. So that's happening in different levels. So for instance, in different chapters, we have seen the EU proposals on energy that are really dangerous, we think, but we also saw horizontal proposal, for instance, this proposals for what they call permanent regulatory cooperation, which would really give this business, big business, the lead in proposing regulation and would also allow decisions to be made in a very untransparent way, mostly by bureaucrats without really parliaments to be involved. Another aspect which has been very talked about in Europe is, of course, the plan to give businesses special rights that nobody else has in society. So I'm talking about what is called the investor-state dispute settlement mechanism, which allows foreign investors to sue host governments when new regulations get in the way of their investment plans. So that's something that has existed in trade agreements for a very long time, and that has been used usually actually to challenge environmental protection measures. So a very famous case in Europe, for instance, is a Swedish investor, Vattenfall, challenging Germany's democratic decision to phase out nuclear power. And that case is ongoing at the moment. We don't know how it's going to happen, but that's typically how investors have used it. So now this has become so controversial that the European Commission is saying, oh, you know, we're going to reform it. It's going to be called an investment court system. But the fundamental problem remains that you're giving foreign investors VIP rights that nobody else in society, be it individuals or domestic investors, have. And that's really without any obligations on investors when it comes to the respect of human rights or environment protection. So those different provisions, they have to be seen in combination with each other as really like a plan to make it much more difficult for decision makers who are keen on protecting citizens and the environment to do so in the future. And that's going to be, if this TTIP is agreed, really much more difficult to take progressive measures to allow really to prevent dangerous climate change and other dangerous phenomena for people's health and for the protection of the environment.
Natasha, appealing to your experience and to your knowledge and studies about the TTIP and the round of negotiations, can you say something to us about what do you think that could be happening in this next round on October 19th in Miami?
So one of the other big problems we have in this TTIP negotiations is that they are very little transparent. So far, civil society has not been communicated an actual agenda of what will be negotiated in Miami. We know that probably the investment part will not be on the table, but I can't confirm for sure. It's likely that they will discuss tariffs, offers, issues such as procurement, probably plans on regulatory cooperation, but all of this is based on rumors and on non-official information, but we haven't seen the exact agenda so far. What we know is that it's clear that there is no breakthrough agreements in any of the chapters, so the negotiations are not progressing well, and that's why we think it's really a great moment to continue mobilizing against it.
Okay, Natasha, and taking this opportunity of this interview with you, I would like to ask you, Natasha, also about what are your first impressions, at least, about the signature of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which really, at least for me, it was a bit surprising that this agreement was already signed at this moment. How did you see that, Natasha?
Well, it was surprising to see that suddenly it seemed they reached an agreement while they seemed they were pretty stuck for a long time. It's also a very complex negotiations because the number of partners is much higher, with 12 partners on the table. I think in any case it came really as like a very big threat. It is officially a deal that won't work for people and planet, that contains lots of very dangerous language. It contains those special rights for investors I was just mentioning before. So if this would go ahead and be ratified in the US and elsewhere, it would be a very bad precedent for what's going on in the EU and the US. What we know also is that one of the reasons why the EU-US trade negotiations have been stuck is because the Trans-Pacific Partnership was in the way, and that is a very much strategic agreement for the US. But of course, we very much hope that it can still be defeated, and it's quite interesting to see what's going on at the moment in the U.S. electoral campaign, that several candidates are actually coming against it. So we hope it can still be defeated, and we'll do everything we can to do so.
Okay, it was Natasha Singotti, a trade campaigner of Friends of the Earth Europe, talking about what are going to be those 7 days of international actions in different countries of Europe, starting on Saturday, next Saturday, and with mobilizations, actions against the harmful trade and investment deals in the region, and focusing especially on the TTIP, and with these last words about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has been signed just a few days ago. Natasha, you have been very nice, very helpful. Thank you very much from Real World Radio.
Thank you, Jose.